Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, sir. Welcome to be here, everybody.
Amen.
Thanks for being here. Good evening.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings again from Oklahoma City.
Amen. And looking forward to a good broadcast and... Man, I'll let you know when your callers call in.
All right. Thank you, sir. Sure appreciate it. And we do welcome everybody this Wednesday night joining us here on Hope is Alive. Hope is Alive is a show about deliverance, the testimonies of those who have been set free, that had things happen in their life, trauma, problems, addiction, and they all overcame it. And how they overcome it? They overcome it because it was cast out of it. Cast out of them the evil spirits that was hindering them, the evil spirits and their assignments that come from the enemy, and it's all done through the act of deliverance. And that's why we come on here each week, so we can teach you about it, get testimony about it, glorify Jesus Christ. And if you have any questions regarding deliverance, you go to deliveranceusa.com. Excellent, excellent website there for you to use as a tool. Go to it, and it's got training, prayers, it's got testimonies, it's got everything you need. Or if you like it the old-fashioned way, reading a book, always be a good thing to have a book because technology can fail, but you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you'd like to have that book, and he will certainly get it out to you. Well, Pastor, really been enjoying some unusually warm weather. And we even had some tornadoes come through the, threats of tornadoes come through the area last Saturday evening. Got pretty hairy there for a little bit. Found out later the reason it got so hairy is there was rotation right over us. But, you know, we exercised our authority, my wife and I. We exercised our authority against the storm, causing it to be still, commanding it to be still, and put the prayer request out to our brothers in Christ. And, you know, outside of a few things blowing around and a cable breaking on the boat dock, nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the cable breaking on the boat dock, from the looks of it, looks like it was going to be going pretty soon anyway. So, praise the Lord, he still delivers.
Amen. Well, praise God. That applies. That fits right in with Luke 10:19 again, the tornado situation, that we have power over the enemy, and certainly a tornado is the enemy, and the promise from Jesus that nothing will harm us. So when we speak it out, it goes forth to accomplish that for which it is sent. And it's such an amazing thing that we've been given. I've seen a number of situations like you described. Even my wife one time, there was a funnel coming at us when we lived in Yukon, Oklahoma, and she took authority over it, and it turned. And another friend of mine in Midwest City, Oklahoma, just out of Oklahoma City, same situation, a huge tornado that was coming toward Tinker Air Force Base and had wiped out a good part of Moore, Oklahoma, and was headed toward Midwest City. He saw it, and he took authority over it. He was a minister in deliverance and applied the authority that you were talking about that we've all been given if we'll use it. And many Christians, they leave that power in their holster. They don't pull it out and use it, and you use it by speaking in Jesus' name against whatever situation is going on, especially as it appears as there could be demonic activity.
That's a big if.
Yes.
Yeah, that if is really big if you don't use it. Now, I remember years ago, Pastor Peter's describing something to that effect. He says, you know, you can have a car outside, a 4x4 truck that can get through any kind of bad weather, whatever, and down the hill comes, I can't remember if it's like a mudslide, a lava flow or something, and you can get out there and get in that car and just start praying all day long, that truck will start. But if you don't exercise that key that you have and the authority to push it in there and turn it over, that truck's not going to go anywhere. And that's why he was trying to explain how Christians have to act in their faith.
Yes. We're to be doers of the word, which is
yes,
very clear.
Doers of the word.
And so no, many Christians
and,
don't do it.
I know. And the thing that I was thinking of was not so much that the tornado was the enemy, as I was thinking that little promise, greater things than these you shall do also. And Jesus did the very same thing with a storm. And
yes.
I was exercising that kind of faith. Because I'll tell you, it got pretty crazy there for a little bit. And, I mean, it was crazy. And when it gets crazy like that, you just gotta put your hope in the Lord and exercise what he's given you to do. So that was just a little testimony I wanted to give out. Praise the Lord on that. Pastor, let us know about what happened this last Monday.
Well, we had 9 exorcisms. We actually had 15 on the list, but as we've noted, often about half of the people make it that have scheduled. The enemy is real good at talking people out of coming for deliverance ministries or exorcism. The enemy has an ability to speak into people's heads, and I'm speaking about Christians because it's nearly everybody that comes is a Christian. And it's not that the others don't have it. It's just that Christians are usually the only one to find out about deliverance, and they can be free. But I remember one man, he told me that he tried to come for a year, and he'd been scheduling and just couldn't ever get there. And another man told me I'd gotten up to the door, and he couldn't open it. The enemy was yelling in his head, "Don't go in there." So all that's going on out there, but we had 9 cases, and we had a minister for each. Of course, we had extra ministers. I had a good case, a man that had been once before, and I was able to get the head demon up, which, interesting enough, was fear of failure. That was the head demon, and they had, I guess it was about 10, I've forgotten how many we were under it. I marked it down on the yellow tablet, 8 or 10 demons under it. And the head demon admitted it also, and it caused the diabetes and there was one other thing it had caused. I forgot what it was, but it's so typical. These demons are causing so many sicknesses, and I don't know that it's 100%, but the ones we keep running into, they're pretty major diseases typically. And anyway, when I got them all cast out, I'm anxious to, I haven't had a chance to talk to him, but that, I'm expecting to hear big changes in his life. It went very well. He had a short arm that grew out or adjusted out. And anyway, it's a great ministry. He had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He worked a little more with his prayer language, his tongue, and he went out a happy camper. So there's another one we can check off.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That fear of failure, I would say that's probably a pretty common spirit.
Yes. Yes, it is. The fear group.
Yes.
Most common of the demons. Most everybody has that one.
Yes, and that will, this fear in general will just paralyze people. And, we're supposed to have a certain amount of healthy fear in our life, but when you're just paralyzed, you can't get past something where it's just absolutely just consumes you. There's a pretty good chance that there's some sort of spirit that's there behind it. And, it could have easily came through some sort of trauma. It could have come through by assignment. It could come through by witchcraft or come by a curse. But, if you're out there listening, if you have some sort of what would be considered an unusual fear, some sort of phobia, there's probably a pretty good chance that there's a demonic spirit or a demon of some sort attached to that that's causing that in your life.
You got it. It's okay to have concerns about this or that. For example, if you're getting too close to the edge of the cliff, you should have some concerns about that. But if you have an overboard fear, you won't go within half a mile of the edge of the cliff. That would be very suspicious. There's an evil spirit behind it, that kind of thing, where it's overboard and out of balance, reoccurring and tormenting, some problem area fits in that bracket, the odds are extremely high that there'll be an evil spirit behind it. The good news being, it can be cast out and the problem's gone.
Amen. It can be. And it's just as simple as a process of just finding out what the root cause is, getting with a good deliverance minister. You could do it yourself if you use these tools that are there. But, having someone as a deliverance minister or someone working with you is a little bit better because, they have a little discernment outside of objectivity. They can see things that maybe you can't. But, that thing can be easily cast out.
Yes, that's right. So true. So that drives us on, their testimonies, just like the testimonies that are coming up this evening, be examples of how problems disappeared from this type of ministry, having evil spirits cast out.
Well, I would say if you weren't seeing results, you wouldn't still be doing this on Monday night after 30-some-odd years. You and I certainly wouldn't be here every Wednesday night.
Trying
to get the word out if results weren't happening, and you can get results. You can get results. If you need that book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, written by Pastor Cox, again, that number at the office is 307-742-7582. Richard will get that out to you, or deliveranceusa.com. And, Pastor, you want to give out the phone number there to your office in Oklahoma City?
Yes, it's
402-542-5509.
842-5509.
Well,
yes,
Ralph, our...
We Ralph, have a caller? All right.
Yep, we'll let you know our caller's on.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us this evening.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Yes, Julie. Excited you called in and I know you've got a, you gave some of your testimony to me the other day when I visited with you in the local restaurant. So I asked you to come on and tell it. So Ralph is
yeah.
here with me. He's up in the Branson area. But go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverance was like, the changes you've seen, and so forth.
All right. Well, starting with being born again, it's kind of hard for me to track because I grew up in the church. I don't really remember when exactly I got saved. I remember rededicating my life to God many different times. I didn't learn about the Holy Spirit and, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit and all that until later on in life. I moved to Oklahoma in 2013, and I met Jesse Milo, who's a deliverance minister at the, at your Deliverance Ministries. And what was it? Probably about 2016. I had gone through deliverance a couple times when I was married to my first husband, and it worked. But I always seemed to let the doors get reopened, and you know, nothing was ever, you know, concrete with it. In 2016, me and my first husband separated, and we went through divorce. And when all that was going on, I decided to just go full 100% toward God, and you know, rededicate my life to Him, and just really go, just be on fire for God, because the way that it was, I felt like the devil was just stomping all over my life. So I was good friends with Jesse, and he was mentoring a friend of mine, Christian, and me and Christian ended up in a relationship together. And so when he was going down to Deliverance Ministries, I started going with him, and we were just completely sold out, going down there every week, ministering to people, you know, going to church a couple times a week. I was hearing from God. I was having dreams and visions, and it was just amazing. For like 9 months, I was just, you know, completely overwhelmed by the power of God, and it was really working. It was sticking, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, there was so much we were doing. I mean, we were feeding the homeless people, giving people, you know, on the street Bibles, and, you know, donating money to get Bibles printed in other countries, you know what I mean? Like, just doing a lot of work trying to you know, advance God's kingdom. And about that time, about nine months into this, I was taking a nap one day, and I just got done doing my Bible study and reading and learning about God, and I was just sitting there listening to worship music and trying to take a nap, and I started dreaming about, like, the rapture and what heaven's going to be like, and it was such an amazing dream. But all of a sudden, in the middle of my nap, I got jerked awake in excruciating pain. And I had fallen asleep with my head, with my left arm over my head, and it just snapped out of socket randomly. It just came out of socket and got stuck out of socket. And they had to rush me to the hospital and sedate me and yank it back in place. And when they did that, it caused a really bad tear in my labrum. And I had to have surgery, and I was seeing a pain management doctor and getting all these prescription medications for pain. And the way I look at it is the devil was trying to stop me from what I was doing, because I have, you know, a history with drugs, and with pain medicine specifically. And when that happened, it was, I knew, you know, I was like, this really sucks because I need to not take this medication, but I'm in so much pain that I gave in and took it. And I just slowly but surely moved back into, you know, the secular world and not doing what I was doing. I saw the level that I was on as a threat to the devil, and I was scared to be there. And so for the next couple years, I basically just did what I wanted. You know, I'm still a Christian, and I still love God, and I still, you know, talk to people about God, but I didn't go back to deliverance ministries, and I didn't want to go through deliverance again, and I didn't want to, I kind of lived half in and half out, because I didn't want to get back to that level of power and authority that I had against the devil, because he'll fight you back, and when you get there, and it's going to get tougher, you know, with the attacks. And so, just recently, there was a, you know, during the COVID shutdown, me and my husband were, the guy that I was telling you about, Christian, that I was friends with, we were in deliverance ministries together and everything, we ended up getting married. And during the COVID shutdown, you know, we're both out of work for a few months, and everything was shut down, and it just got really hard to do anything, and we were just kind of drinking together and trying to have fun at home, and I just kind of got out of hand, you know, and DHS ended up stepping in and telling me that, you know, I need to get my life together or I'm going to lose my kids, and it was a wake-up call, you know. It was like, I'm putting myself over my kids and what they need, and what they need is me to be a good Christian mom and go back to how I was before. And, sorry, I get emotional talking about it. So since the case started back in July, the end of July, I've decided to turn my life around and, again, and give up all the things that I was doing that was causing me to be selfish, and just focus on God and focus on my kids first and foremost, you know. You know, restoring my relationship with my husband the way that it should be, not the way that it was. And I decided to go down to deliverance ministries again. And like I said, for a long time, I was so scared to go back, because you go there, you get all this freedom, and then you turn around and you start drinking or partying or watching bad TV shows or whatever it is that you do, and it just invites all this stuff back in, and it's actually worse than it was before. And so I was scared for a long time to go back and do it, but this time I was really ready. I was ready to make be different and make a lifestyle change, and for it to be sincere and real this time, without going back and forth anymore. So I went down to Deliverance Ministries. It's probably about, I don't know, 5 weeks ago now, I would say. there's been a problem with me when I go down to deliverance, falling asleep during the door closing prayer, which is really, really important that you say all the things that you need to say and you pay attention and you're, you know, really involved in it. And the whole time I was there, you know, before I got the deliverance, my back was hurting and I was popping it and, you know, twisting and turning in my seat and I couldn't sit still, and I had to go outside and take a breather for a minute. Well, by the time the door closing prayer happened, I decided just stand up in the back of the room where I can't fall asleep, because that's always happened to me, and I feel like it wasn't as effective as it should be. So I stood up in the back of the room, and it was hard to get through, but I said it all, and I got it all done, and I was really committed. And then when Everett came down, and or when Chris came down and paired us all up with ministers, I got paired up with two ladies. And the two ladies that were with me invited my mom to come in there with me, my husband's mom, rather. And I wanted her there, too, because there's a lot of time. She knows me better than anybody, you know. And so I said, yeah, come on, so that I don't, you know, nothing gets blocked in my mind where, you know, I get any kind of hindrance of getting free. So she came, and there was other two other deliverance ministers in there. And the whole time we were in ministry, we would just listen and pray and hear from God what we were being told, and we would, you know, we were hearing different things. Like she would pray, and she would ask me, "What are you feeling that's being said in your mind right now?" And then I would answer. And before in deliverance ministries, I would always be scared to answer because I didn't want it to be coming from me. Well, I said I wasn't going to do that this time. Whatever it comes into my mind when they pray and whatever they ask me, I'm just going to say it. And when I said it, the things, we would cast it out and get rid of it. It was like totally different than any other time I've been through deliverance ministries. It was like just super powerful, and it was. I don't know how to explain it. It was just different. And we were getting all this stuff out, and I was yawning and, coughing, and my back was popping and getting straighter. Every single time we thought we were toward the end, there would be more stuff that came up that would be put on, like, on my heart or in my mind, and I would tell her, and we would get rid of it. And by the end of it, I stood up and I said, "Can you do the limb check? Because I know I was a minister for a few weeks before." So I asked her. I said, "Can you do the limb check?" And she did the limb check. But then after she did the limb check, I stood up and I wasn't expecting anything because I never ever seen it happen before. And I looked around the room and everything looked different, but I didn't know why it looked different. And I realized that everything was at a different height than I'm used to. And I looked over at my husband's mom, who's always been taller than me. She's always been at least an inch and a half taller than me. I'm only 5'6". She's 5'8". And I look at her, and she's shorter than me. And I'm like, "Mom, are you standing up straight?" And she's like, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, what shoes you got on? Are you wearing your flat shoes?" She's like, "No, I'm wearing my sneakers." And I'm like, "This is insane." And I told her to turn around, and I stood up next to her, and they all confirmed that, yeah, I was taller than her. And I said, "That's crazy," because when we were praying for the spirit of Leviathan and the spirit of Jezebel, we were getting rid of those ones, I had saw in my mind a snake, and it must have been a, like, 13-foot-long snake, unravel itself from my spine and go slithering on away, like running for dear life. And that's when I realized that everything was different. And when I stood, and I asked to do the limb check, and I stood up, and when I stood up, everything was different, and I'm taller now. And, you know, since this experience, there has been one time where I got, you know, involved with anger again. I let the anger overcome me and stuff, and I checked, I was standing next to my, and I got offended at somebody is what it was. And I was standing next to my mom. She was like, "You're shorter than me. I don't like it." So she took me in the house, and we prayed, and we got rid of it right then and there. She was like, "All right, stand up next to me again." And I stood up straight. She stood up straight, and sure enough, I was back to the height I was after deliverance. And I got to tell you, I've never seen anything like it. I've only half believed in the limb check and the fact that you can actually grow or whatever. I've never really thought that was true, but it happened. And I wasn't expecting it to happen. It just did. And I don't know. I've never had deliverance work for me to that extent. And it's just been so freeing and so amazing. And I see the devil trying to come in and attack and work against me to get me to say, nah, 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 nah. But I've seen too much at this point for me to go, I don't believe, you know, the biggest thing that the devil is trying to get me to grab hold of is, does the power of God really work? Are you really allowed to use that? And the answer is yes, because I know it. I've seen it. I've experienced it. So that lie is not easily sold to me anymore. It becomes easier to believe that as you start moving away from God and as you start getting more involved with sin, those doubts will start becoming more real and easier to believe. But as long as I'm staying on track and where I need to be, it's so easy to believe God's truth and not the truth, you know, not these lies that the devil is trying to sell. It's gotten to a point that, and also the deliverance ministers invited me to a new group. They told me about this group called Beautiful Restoration. And I thought that was funny because at the start of the DHS case, you know, everybody's telling me you need to break up with Christian, you guys need to get divorced, stay away from each other, you know. And I'm like, no, that's not what God's telling me. God's telling me to wait, and then he's going to restore it. Everything's going to be okay, you know. And it might not look like that to the world right now through everything, but that's what God's been telling me. So I hear the word restoration, and I go, what day of the week is that? And they say, Thursday night. And I'm like, that's because my biggest problem with being in fellowship, I stopped going to church for a couple years because I have a job that I work in the mornings and I have to work every weekend, so there's no Sunday morning church for me. I don't like the bigger churches because I kind of feel lost in the crowd. I don't feel connected with anybody there. I've tried to go to those, you know, life church evenings and stuff, and it just doesn't work for me as well. I wanted to be in a smaller group, you know. And deliverance, like becoming a deliverance minister, I love doing that, and I try to go as often as I can. But I work Tuesday morning is my even earlier day. I go and open in the morning on Tuesday mornings. And so deliverance ministries kind of gets out late, so it's really hard. But when they said Beautiful Restoration, I said, what day of the week is that? And they said Thursday evenings. And it just so happens that I'm off Thursday and Fridays. So if it runs late, it doesn't keep me up and not, you know, not able to go to work the next day from not having enough sleep. And it fit in perfectly with the schedule that I have. And that fellowship that I'm getting there is, like, keeping me, you know, refreshed and on track and, like, accountable and everything. And, like, my daughter
that's perfect.
Last night, huh?
It was perfect. That's a perfect situation for
it
you.
It did. It fit in so perfectly.
A minute left. But what you experienced is very common. The enemy, you're right, is always trying to block a Christian, especially as they're trying to grow. Even when they first get born again, there's likely to be satanic assignments. And also on Christians that are growing, assignments are put on them to block their lives. The good news is you've learned now you're in control, that you have all power over these demons if you use it, and so you're going to prevail from here on. We're out of time. Thank you so much. That was a great testimony, Julie. You're a blessing. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Everett.
Yes, Julie, thank you.
Have a good night.
God bless.
I loved how when she was giving her testimony, she just got more and more excited about it.
Yeah. Well, that was pretty exciting about growing a couple of inches or whatever it was.
Yes.
I heard that happen before. I'm not surprised at anything.
Richard, if you would, please let us know when Connie comes on. I'm not getting any text through from you.
Sure, Ralph, she's on now. Welcome to the program.
All right.
Hi.
Yeah,
thank you for joining us, Connie.
Yes, I'm here.
Thanks for calling in. Yes,
thank you for having me.
Up in the Branson area. Yes, can you hear me okay, Connie?
Yes, a little delayed in there, but I can hear you.
All right, Richard, you might turn the gain up a little bit on my side. Well, Connie, why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and what was going on in your life, how you learned about deliverance, what your deliverance was like, and changes you've seen and where you've gone from there.
Okay, Everett. I grew up in northeastern Oklahoma and kind of lived a typical life, I suppose. And I got born again in 1993. I had felt an urgency to get back with the Lord, and I'd spent some years of sexual immorality and had drug abuse and use, and I was getting older and realized that I needed to make some changes. So I returned and recommitted to the Lord in 93 and got born again and received my tongues a year later and, you know, was starting to make some progress. And then as the years went by in the late 90s, there would be things that would pop up that I would want to wonder why it did pop up. And my sister told me about Deliverance Ministry in Oklahoma City. And so there was an urgency again in my life to find out what was going on, although I had been having some success in my life. So after realizing that I had an opportunity to hook up and find out more about the things of Jesus, I ended up there in Oklahoma City, and I had an evening with Everett in 2003. And let's see, it was a wonderful night because it was probably one of the biggest turning points in my walk with Jesus that gave me the freedom that I had really been looking for. I went in and he took me through fears and strifes and angers, and we went through all the different rejection, and I'd had some witchcraft in the family, and my dad had been in World War II, and there were times growing up that it was like war. So even though I was walking with the Lord, there were still some things that were seemed out of order. But as I sat down with Everett and began to go through the problem sheet, or what we called back then the suspect sheet, I was really surprised what I still had in myself that I didn't know I did. And I don't see, should I just keep going, Everett? I checked off a lot of things on the list back in 2003 that I had some victory from, but a lot of them I hadn't. And completely, and as Everett took me down the list, I realized that as he told me to, took me through inner healing, or we went back to the womb, and as we went through the prayers, I would start to have a pain in my stomach. And then they taught me how to reach down and take that out and, you know, give it to Jesus. So I think I went into ministry that night at 5:30 and 6:30. Several hours had gone by, and I'd had a lot of trauma, a lot of torment, and it seemed like every two or three years trauma and torment would come up. But what was surprising to me was my body. When Everett would cast out a spirit of fear, my body would shake and shiver, and then my pit of my stomach would quiver, and as he commanded the spirit to leave, it would shoot up out my body and come out of my head. And many spirits came out of me that way. And so as time went by, it sitting there in deliverance that I can remember it was like yesterday, I realized that the Bible was much, much more than I ever knew that it would be, and that Jesus really did set you free if you reached out for him. And it's interesting, Everett, when I talked to you the other day, I'd come back home and made notes, and I still have my sheet from that night at 2003. That's why it was so spectacular for Wow. As she went on through the deliverance, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, as you went on through the deliverance, whether it was a bad memory, a rejection, a hurt, and you would pray over that trauma, it all went real well. And many soul ties were broken with ex-lovers, forgiveness and forgiving. And we got up into my teen years, and we had really made a lot of progress, and you had wondered if you said, I want to know if there's a head demon. We've been kind of coming down to the end of things, and I want to check and make sure you don't have a head demon. And you said sometimes there's a head demon, and you wanted to make sure, although I had felt 50 pounds lighter, the minister that sat with us and people were starting to gather around, I could feel the color coming back in my face. I could feel feelings and my body parts even that I hadn't probably really felt for years, to be aware of a cleansing that was going on inside of me. And you said, I want to check to see if there's a head demon. And I'd already had probably, I don't know, 25 or 30 that had, you know, balled up in my stomach and shot out the top of my head. When you said, is there any head demons that are left in Connie, come out in the name of Jesus. And my hands curled. They kind of tightened up into balls. My feet somewhat got a hoofed, and I breathed, and I growled at you, and I said, I don't like you. And I was in a growling mode, and so I was kind of surprised. It had been several hours, and I'd been feeling quite a bit better through that time. I thought surely that was it, but with your expertise, I walked out of there a brand new woman that night, and I've never really looked back at any of the sexual immorality that had been plaguing me those years. I knew that night when I left that I had been completely set free, and even to this day, I can say that in the areas I was delivered, that I've made just remarkable 100% improvement. In all those areas that I was struggling with, enough that I've been able to even help other people that got needed help like I did. But the thing was, Everett, that I'll never forget. This is, I told myself today, I said, I experienced it. I just have to tell the truth. I experienced it all. And my hands curled, and my growled at you, and you then decided to interrogate the enemy. That's what it felt like. I felt like I was kind of in a war interrogation, and there had been an enemy found out inside of me. And you asked him what his name was, or its name was, and it said it was Jackal, that I had come from a family curse. Had been in the bloodline for, let's see, gosh, here, something like 14 generations. I had this jackal has said that it had assignments to injure me, injure my heart and my kidneys, and to see my death. And its main goal was to keep me from preaching the gospel, which I'll never forget that. That was said that night, because as time has gone by, I've realized how true that was. I'm looking at a story that I wrote that night after I got home. My body shook hard. My legs shook too. When Everett ordered Jackal out of me, I felt something this time in my feet. My feet felt like there was thunder in it, and it shot up from my feet to my legs. Then it went to my stomach. It was like this big ball of indigestion going through my body. My neck bulged and my face strained. My tension, my nose. I felt my eyes bulge and I felt my eyebrows stretch. And right out of the top of my head, Jackal left, and I collapsed in the chair. I breathed deep. I jumped up saying, thank you, Jesus, and all the ministers that had gathered around, cheered, clapped, and rejoiced. Everett said, there's not always that quite a manifestation of devils, but you certainly had one. So I got right to the point on that. I really didn't know how long I'd go into Jackal on that, but after wondering where I'd be testifying all that to, I always thought I'd be testifying in the church, and my church person, I go to church, I believe in that, but over the last probably 5 to 10 years that the testimony wasn't coming forward, I found God started using me more on the street. I started ministering to meth users and satanic ritual people that would just be out on the street. And I would start off by telling them the testimony about Jackal, about drug use, about sexual immorality and all that it can do to you. And now, Everett, do you have a question? And I'll stop talking a minute. Guide me where you want me to go.
You're doing great. You're doing great, Connie. And you've come a long ways, but just go right ahead. You're doing great.
Because yes, I've always felt that I wanted to give back, too, and was so thankful. I think about the many times that I was starting to enjoy life again. There was no doubt about it, even before I come into your office there. But that night, there was something that was so grand that lifted to where my creativity got accelerated. I became better in business. I became a better communicator. I'm going to tell you, it's always been perfect, and there's been the challenges in life, but never the extreme challenges that I had during those days of just sin, basically, and really not know, you don't want to sin, but you don't know why you're still doing it. And there, when I left there that night, I knew on my knower everything in the Bible that I had read was true, and I was just more eager to go back out and learn about the Word of God and learn about the power of Christ and when you have power over all the enemy. And being around Everett kind of taught me how to slap that leather and not be, timid towards spiritual things that might try to fester in your body or was set up there even intentionally. So thrilled to see how many people still get to come there and have that to go to. Seems like I have another. I came in 2012, Everett, and I had a touch-up, and you took me through, and I have that sheet. There's some check-off there. It doesn't look like anything like the sheet in 2003. That thing is just... And I have your check-off sheet here where you had Jackal and 13 Spirits of Fear. What you marked off in 2003, December 8th. 6 addiction curses, 21 lying. I mean, and then again, God's gifts during that time of love and life, generosity, helping young, healing, intercession, that confirmation on those things. When you get the kind of the gore stuff out of the way, there are those things when you see your angels and you see that, strike of lightning in their swords or whatever. And God just kind of grooms you right up, gives you that big overhaul so you can keep coming out. And I'll tell you, I might still have my hand out where when you did before you had your book written. I still have my manual. I didn't want to ever go back. And the enemy's ruthless, And so I just stayed in it. And then once I started ministering to people that were way worse in shape than I was, they're 30 or 35. They've been on meth probably 10 or 15 years. And they're really probably overlooked in society. catch them in front of a laundromat or in the laundromat or at a car wash, or, you know, God will give you the divine appointment. And it's just amazing. I'll meet people that were have been so bound, you can't even hardly believe that they couldn't get in a church door. There's some that they can't say the name Jesus. Where I've had people pull up in my drive and say, you know, I heard Connie will help. I'm a bad alcoholic. I can't open my Bible. I physically can't open my Bible. My arms won't open my Bible. I mean, it's like, and you know, you'll talk with them and you kind of get them to loosen up, get them to look at you and maybe tell them your story. Then you tell them about, well, you can go to deliverance minister. I can help you right here on the spot, but there's other people out there who'll help you. And I got a book you can read, or I just try to do a real quick excerpt on it. But you know, I am kind of getting a little bit of reputation now in the area here in northeastern Oklahoma. It needs help. Always prayed for the area. Anytime I've needed help, I know that deliverance ministries, I can call, I can send a text, I can, you know, Gmail, and I'm going to be put on a prayer team and reassured that something is going to happen, because there's people praying in agreement for people to be set free. And it's kind of turned out that these people I'm working with are set free. I don't know that a lot of them could make it into church doors. Their faces are broke out, their bone lines are drawn, their eyes are drawn back into their head, and a lot of them satanic ritual or generational satanic ritual. And they're looking for someone to talk to, but they really can't go to a state facility. They can't go to a state program. They're just completely underground. And it seems like the Lord has put me in their path. And like when you called with Peggy Taylor, she was satanic ritual. Wanted help, but then again, she didn't want help. And she kind of disappeared on me, but I always keep my eye out for her. But I've had several successful ones that they could at least get to where they could talk. They could get, maybe their home had burned down, and, you know, get them to where they could get a trailer or get them a hotel room or something. Many I've picked up, taken to hotel rooms, testified, maybe had 8 minutes to testify about doing drugs or shooting drugs or being down in Austin and being in a drug house, and God come deliver me. Then I ended up a deliverance ministry in Oklahoma City, and I had a kind of a beast cast out of me, and it was a sexually immoral beast, but I believe it was some sort of drug beast too. And with these people, so the one thing I can say to them at the end is, if you'll just cry out to God, you call on the Lord, He'll provide someone for you. And who knows, you might be able to find your way into a good deliverance minister and you get the full work. So, I'm still sold out. I couldn't imagine these years of having to deal with the sexually immoral issue after all that the world's gone through now. It would have driven anybody, you know, nuts. But not once has that ever, that's how I know that night, that thing just got out of me. I will never forget it. I mean, I've written several stories too. I don't know if I'll be able to do anything with them or not, but maybe right now, maybe tonight, there'll be a person out there that they'll call on Jesus. I've been in drug houses and I've called on the Lord, and he showed up, and he kept showing up enough that sent me to the right professionals that could give me the help that I needed. Not necessarily.
Yes, the Lord does that. Oh, Connie, we're out of time.
That's
fantastic.
You're kidding.
The time is gone. Well, you've been telling
Everett.
It goes fast. But
I didn't think it'd go that fast. I was kind of a little nervous. I'm sorry.
Well, it did. No, that's the way it works. But that's your ministry that you're doing. And no one else is doing it around you up there. So you see, you've got some tools to use that most people don't have. So go to it, gal. Praise God. That's your ministry.
I appreciate it.
God bless you.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you so
okay.
much for joining us.
Thank you, sir. Thank you,
bye-bye,
bro.
Bye-bye, Connie. You're a blessing.
Bye-bye.
Have a good night. I think she could have went on for another hour, Pastor.
Whoa. Praise God.
Yes. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And the joy, the relief, the deliverance that these ladies have and they testified can be yours. It's just a matter of reaching out to the right person, getting the Holy Spirit to lead and direct you in that way. Maybe this is the first time you've listened to the airwaves tonight, but you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard the office, 307-742-7582, or deliveranceusa.com. Both of them will help you. If you can't get to Oklahoma City, these are great for self-deliverance, but if you need it, you can't make it to Oklahoma City, get a hold of us somehow, and we'll do our best to get someone to help you. We do thank everybody for joining us this Wednesday evening, taking time out of your night to listen to us. We do thank you. We sure appreciate we get to do this each Wednesday, and we just I look forward to seeing you next time. Thank you for listening. God bless, and have a good evening.
God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy,
ooh, to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy.
Nothing will harm you.
Nothing will harm you.